We very much appreciate the support that the Friends have given us through our conventions. And certainly as we reflect back over the years, there are certain ones who have a very special place in our heart. And one in particular are the Friends of the New Brunswick class. We've always appreciated the overwhelming support that they've given us here in Connellsville in connection with our conventions and other activities. We're very thankful tonight to have our brother O.B. Albert with us to serve us with our Vesper service. The title of Vesper service, as you can see on your screen, a beautiful topic for the evening, our Christian warfare. Brother O.B.
Thank you, Brother Wes. It is indeed a great privilege to be with the brethren here in convention in Connellsville. We thought the overruling of the Lord was with us when we came in this morning and we sat down and saw the manna text of the day and its admonitions not to fight the fight that the world fights. Let the world have their battles and their battlegrounds. Our battle and our battleground is a world away. Another realm. It's in the heavens. It's a spiritual place. And in the evening, when we come together for a Vesper, we're looking to relax our minds and draw close to the Lord. And this evening, we'll be talking about warfare to relax our minds. But how often soldiers have sought solace in one another's company, in one another's fellowship, after a long battle, after a day of laboring and fighting together, to come around the campfire in the evening and talk to one another about the experiences of the day and the fight that they fought, and to talk about the leadership that they had. Perhaps a daring colonel gained the victory that day because he was fearless in the face of the enemy. And look at the captain of our salvation, our Lord Jesus, fearless in the face of any foe. He is the captain. We are his soldiers. Victory is assured. We think of the great impact he had on the former fisherman, Apostle Peter. And Peter, reflecting in later years his experiences with Jesus, and now fully developed in his eldership, admonished us, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Are you misunderstood because of your stand for righteousness? Are you misunderstood because of the Christian principles that you fight for daily? This is great reassurance. In the day of visitation, they will glorify God on your behalf." What a wonderful promise. And our brother Paul, in admonishing Timothy to be courageous, soundly advises him that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Yes, our Lord Jesus is the captain of our salvation, and he's extended to you and to me the bread and the cup, the opportunity, the privilege of sharing together in his body and in his blood. And in accepting the bread and the cup, we enter a life so far apart from the life that the rest of the world leads and the path the rest of the world is taking that they can't even begin to understand what we're all about. But amid all the tumult and confusion of this world, we hear the voice of our captain calling us, reassuring us, this is the way. He calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, "Christian, love me more." Let's raise our voices together in singing, "Jesus Calls Us." Savior, may we hear thy call, give our hearts to thy obedience, serve and love thee best of all. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Christ in a living epistle to the world of mankind. This is part of our battle, to put off the pettiness of our flesh, to put off our fleshly weaknesses, to rise above ourselves, what we were according to the flesh, and be what we are according to the Spirit by God's grace. And the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly weapons. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't use anger, hatred, malice, wrath, envy, strife, jealousy, deceit to accomplish the goals that we have set before us. But an interesting contrast, our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where are the battlegrounds that we fight most of our battles, friends? Our pastor suggests that the most active, most volatile Christian battlefield is in the mind of the Christian. There it is that we cast down imaginations, our own personal preferences, our prejudices, our ignorance that raises itself up against the knowledge of God, and bring our thoughts, our own thoughts, not the thoughts of another, but our own thoughts, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And what a beautiful promise we find in verse 6. It's a little obscure in the King James, but having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does it mean? When we have obeyed the will of God, when we have overcome all things, we will be prepared to reign with our Lord Jesus in avenging all disobedience, in restoring the fallen race. Sometimes the paths that the Lord leads us by are flowery and wonderful, like this weekend, and we'd like to thank the Connellsville brethren for all their labors of love to bring us such a spiritually refreshing weekend. And the Christian way, sometimes we can think of it as burdensome and heavy. But actually, the Lord's burden is light, isn't it? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and weary. I will give you rest. Take my burden upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because his burden isn't leading us to the eventuality of Adamic death. His burden is leading us to newness of life in Christ Jesus and to resurrection glory with him, if faithful. Sometimes we, in our walk, stumble a bit. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Let's raise our voices together in singing, all the way my Savior leads me. Joy it will be to proclaim for all ages to all creatures in heaven and earth the joy that we've had in walking together with Jesus. The light that came into the world to lighten every man that cometh into the world. And our way has been so brilliant, so light before us, and he has led us as his sheep into green pastures. We think of the psalmist David, the shepherd boy, the shepherd king, who saw so much of the Lord in every aspect of his daily life, setting us an example to have our mind constantly on things of the Spirit, no matter where we are, no matter what our circumstance, to try to see the spiritual significance and make application of spiritual principles in every aspect of life. David praised the Lord in Psalm 144 for something very unusual. We know that David is a picture of the church militant, the church in its time of struggle against sin, the world, their flesh, and the adversary. And David said, and we say, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." The Lord teaches our hands to make Christian warfare, to do with our might what our hands find to do, to seek to glorify God in every thought, word, and action. How blessed we are to be under the hand, the loving hand, of such a wonderful shepherd. And sometimes he leads us to more desolate experiences, and we need that. A bed of roses that does not make a true Christian warrior. We need that variety in our lives, the blessing and the tribulation. But the Lord will leave us fully equipped in every situation through the Word of God. And we must study daily. We must eat our spiritual food daily in order to be strong for the work that the Lord has for us to do. And teach us, Lord, the art with wisdom to remove the errors that deceive the heart, and truth to clearly prove. That's a great battle in our own minds and in alleviating errors in the minds of others. Let's join our hearts together in singing the sentiments of the warfare. Say amen to that. May my zeal to judgment brought prove true beneath thy test. I pray that for you as well as myself. It's early in the morning of the 7,000-year day of Earth's history, and we're awake, and it's good to be awake together with you. And as we look beyond the hills, the kingdoms of this world, we see the dawning rays of the new morning. We see the King coming in power and great glory with clouds. Fire and lightning are before him. What a privilege to understand the work that our Lord is doing in the present time. What a privilege to be in the know, to be awake, and to realize the momentous events and the significance of these momentous events as the beginnings of God's kingdom on earth. We are so privileged. We thank the Lord so much. But let's keep our guard up. Let's be vigilant soldiers and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember the thought in 2 Thessalonians that the coming of the Lord would be accompanied with the powerful workings of Satan, all deceivableness of sin. Let us withstand his wiles by God's grace. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. With such daunting foes facing us day by day, brethren, be vigilant. Be sober, for your adversary walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, continue to stand, and be vigilant, and never stop running until you've crossed that finish line. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, as only we who see God's great plan of the ages can proclaim it. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when you have all that armor, what should you do? Pray. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Yes, our responsibilities as soldiers of Christ are not only our personal responsibilities, but we have the care of one another, the concern of our brethren in our hearts as well. And as we continue to meditate upon the Word of God, what a great privilege we have in the present time. We have seen in the heavens the great vision, the great plan of the ages that the Lord has in store for the human race. And we have so many details of vision and so many scriptures from Genesis to Revelation intertwining, interlocking in such an intricate and beautiful and consistent and glorious way. Let us be vigilant with regard to our appreciation of the plan of God, because it's possible, if we are not faithful, for it to slip from our grasp. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Be vigilant, be sober. I always enjoyed sleeping outside when I was younger. Now that it's a little harder to get up off the cold ground in the morning, I don't enjoy it so much. But I always appreciated the fact that I seemed to wake up with the dawning of the day, with the first break of the sun, And I felt very invigorated, very refreshed. And as we see the dawning of the sun, our spiritual ears are open. And we hear the voice of our Lord Jesus. It's the voice of the archangel and the time of the trump of God. And we hear the call. Let's join together in singing, "Hear the Call." Sometimes in our life, it seems like it's all we can do to just hang on. But even in nature, God has shown us of His provision for those moments in our Christian life. Even on the steepest and rockiest mountainsides, God is able to sustain plants. And not just merely sustain them, but allow them to bring forth beautiful flowers, a manifestation of the loving character of our God. The mists and the rains come over them, provided by our Lord, and they grow profusely. And if you're in this situation, or if you've been in that situation, or if you've never been in that situation, you will be, when the Lord your God doth prove you, whether you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, yea, with all your being. Trust in his ability to comfort, to bless, and to restore and refresh. You know, one of the United States Army's greatest weapons is its medical corps. And incidentally, this is a basis for many of our brethren choosing to take a full conscientious objector stand and not even participate in the medical corps in the military. Because the military says if they can keep their soldiers on their feet, they can go on to win the day. You put a soldier that's been wounded out there on the battleground and he's got experience. He's much more careful, much more watchful, much more valuable as a soldier. And the Lord in his grace is merciful and kind to us. We'd like to refresh your memories of the thoughts that David expressed in the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Are you feeling spiritually weary? Do you detect perhaps some spiritual disease in yourself? Take it to the Lord in prayer. He will heal all your diseases. He will restore your spirit so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's. With such a God, with such a marvelous, loving Heavenly Father, we must ask, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who could? Shall tribulation separate you from the love of Christ? How about distress? Persecution in your daily life as a Christian? Will that separate you from the love of Christ? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Or sword? No. No, in all these things, we recognize the Lord is there for us. And we recognize our share together with him in his sufferings. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things yet to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. No circumstance, no peril, no other creature can separate us from the love of God. But one creature is implied here that can separate us from the love of God: ourselves. Be vigilant and be sober. God loves you so much and has provided so ably for all things in your life. Would the Lord that died for you turn his back? Would the Lord that died for you not have compassion? Would the Lord that died for you not fulfill all that he has promised to you? Certainly not. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. And in looking to the Lord and all that he has done for us, we rightfully ask, am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Let's share in him the thoughts of self-examination. Am I a soldier of the cross? The empty tomb was a tremendous help to the disciples in realizing that Jesus had in fact been raised from the dead. But after they became partakers of the Holy Spirit, after they were spirit begotten, they didn't refer to the evidence of the empty tomb any longer as proof of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the evidence was already manifest. Except I go away, the Comforter cannot come. And the Comforter, having come, was reassurance, and enough reassurance, of Jesus' resurrection. And the fact that you and I can understand spiritual things of increasing depth and beauty, and the fact that those spiritual things affect our lives so much so that we're willing to die for them, is testimony to us of the fact that our Lord Jesus is alive. And even now we have signs of the times. We have the meat in due season in our grasp. The nation of Israel restored. The fulfillment of prophecy before our eyes. Again, underscoring, underlining, reaffirming the fact that Jesus, who spoke these prophetic words, has returned in fulfillment of them. Such love He's given to us. And as we consider Him, we say, Savior, Thy dying love Thou gavest me. Nor would I aught withhold, dear Lord, from Thee. to all eternity, that will be enough for me. No trial for the moment seemeth joyous, but grievous. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We must bear this in mind as we go through those experiences that the Lord has appointed us. And sometimes we may enter into depression, discouragement. The way is narrow. The gate is straight. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And we can begin to feel very withdrawn. We can begin to feel the Lord doesn't care. Though we shouldn't. He's given us so many assurances of His abiding love with us. We appreciate so much the sentiments of the hymn, Our Consolation. The final verse is just so brilliant, so reassuring. Even sorrow, touched by heaven, grows bright with more than rapture's ray. As darkness shows us worlds of light we never saw by day. Let's join together in singing Our Consolation. We look up with childlike innocence and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your loving care, your tender mercies, your unfailing vigilance with us. Jesus loved the little ones. Bring the little children to me. He appreciated their purity of heart, their innocence, their spirit of forgiveness, their trust, their acceptance. And this is how we need to become. We need to become as little children. Except ye be as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Great words of reassurance. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. in the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, the bow of promise stands bright. We see just before us the consummation of all our hopes. All that we live for, all that we die for, to be in the presence of our great God, to be under the direct headship and presence of our heavenly bridegroom, to begin to restoring the fallen race of mankind. Hope's consummation will be so great. Let's transport our minds and hearts away in singing the thoughts of hope's consummation. His own kind hand shall wipe the tears from every weeping eye, and pains and groans and griefs and fears, and death itself shall die. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Lord has been a sustaining strength to the church, even in the face of the daunting the sometimes terrifying bastion of nominal Christianity. The nominal kingdom of God, proclaiming his reign, begun on earth many centuries ago. And a reign that was not a blessing for humanity, but a cursing. But even though it had worldwide sway, this great beast, and the kings of the earth under its control, the Lord God has been the strength of his true people, to give them strength to fight together with a Lamb, to make their stand. And we make our stand because we are fighting side by side with him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nothing can stand before him. None can resist his iron will. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords, and they that are with him are called